Welcome, everyone, to the show that everybody should know. And much like Pied Pipers, we're going to lead you back to Potty's Ward. Now, you can tell we're opening a little differently, a little bit, just a tiny bit, where this is not Chris Platt, the MVP. This is Andrew Snowflake Balls, Blaz, however you want to call it. Because Chris, he decided to take the week off for personal reasons and proclivities of, oh god, Tony's got something for it, so
I have breaking news as to where Christopher Platt actually is, and he is at a Sherman Helmsley lookalike convention, so he'll have a good time out there. For the rest of the evening, we'll refer to him just as out on assignment, but the rest of you can refer to him as George Jefferson. Back to you, Andrew.
Jesus Christ. You had to bring that back. Now if he listens to this, he's going to hate you a little bit. You know you're going to hear that next week at some point, right? All right. Well, as we all know, the voice you just heard was PC Tunney chiming in with his breaking news, our wonderful moderator. Say hi, Tunney.
Hello, everyone. Ahoy, ahoy. But more importantly, go ahead. Get to the real reason we're here today.
Save the best for last on this one, because we needed somebody to replace the MVP for the week. And in his stead, we have the bearded brawler himself, Max Holiday.
Well, I can tell that you're definitely not a fan because you done screwed up the intro already.
Oh, really?
It is the bearded bruiser, Max Holiday.
Bearded bruiser.
Because it's our first time meeting, I'll let it slide this one time. But considering it's like the first minute of the podcast, it's going to be a long night, I can tell.
Oh, it is. I'm glad you already have that idea of the whole thing, that this is going to be a hell of an experience, so to speak.
Oh, man.
So how's everything catching you, Max?
Great. Great. Everything's catching me great. I've never heard that expression before. It's snowing and I hate the snow. So that's my current predicament. That's where I'm at. Life is great. Wrestling is phenomenal. I hate the snow. That is my current predicament. That's my mood right now.
Man, I know, man, all your entire match Saturday. I know what I'm going to yell the entire time now. It's going to be fucking awesome. And you're going to get so pissed off. And it's going to cost me so much beer after the match. I know. I'm rethinking this now. All right. Anyway, go ahead, Andrew. Continue.
I'm glad you're enjoying it. But yeah, see, that I guess that's the whole point. Me being on the East Coast, I don't really get as many of the shows and everything that Tunney does. So I don't really venture over to the Midwestern areas too much. And we should have snow, but all winter we haven't. It's been mostly rainy. So yeah, welcome to rainy fucking New Jersey this whole past week. So. You know, if you were on the East Coast, Max, you wouldn't have to be dealing with that snow.
I would prefer to deal with the rain than the snow.
Yep.
The rain, you don't have to shovel it out of the way. Rain, it could still be warm and rain. I'm fine with that.
Wow. That's exactly what Tunney said before the show even started.
Cold snow can just kiss my ass. I'm done.
Listen, so, well, then you can feel me on this one. I get out there the other day, and there's probably 4 inches of wet snow. And then at the end of the driveway, you know what's down there, the good old plow guy, he came through 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
So I get about 3/4 of the way down, and I'm like, well, fuck it. Let's go start the snowblower. Well, guess who wasted fucking 45 minutes with that son of a bitch? Didn't get it to start. Had to run down there and unshovel that shit, and it was even heavier because it started getting warmer. So, yeah, there you go. I thought you could find a little happiness in my misery, because I'm sure you've been there before.
Yeah, well, the other morning, every morning I get up at 4:20 and I go to the gym. When I got back a week ago, we had a nice snow out here.
Bod Squad?
Yeah, Bod Squad. And we had a good snow out here. And so when I got back, I was like, you know what, maybe I'll shovel the driveway now. So as I'm shoveling the driveway, of course, you know, the snow plow coming by. I'm at the end of the driveway shoveling. And by this time, it's about 6 o'clock in the morning as I'm getting back. And the neighbor across the street thought that they were cute. And they're like, oh, I guess this is our workout for the day. I'm like, yeah, you fat fuck. It's our first workout of the day. Come on. Yeah, let's shut the fuck up and leave me alone. It's our workout for the day. Yeah, yeah. I've only been up for 2 hours already, prick.
Maybe he meant like our, like, hey, this is our workout today.
Oh, like, well, it's, I mean, a team thing.
Yeah, big enough for two of them, sure, whatever. And then he's the one asshole on the street that has his car parked out on the street where it clearly says over, you know, over an inch of snow, move your car because we're coming through with the plows. Nope, this prick's sitting there. Mind you, by almost 7 o'clock in the morning, car's still sitting on the street. Plows are going around them. I'm like, you gotta be fucking kidding me.
Listen, that's what we do now. I just thought of it. It's brilliant. It's evil genius. You park your own car at the end of your driveway horizontally so that the plow leaves its trail 4 feet outside of your end of your driveway, and you never have to deal with the plow at the end of the... Max, this is fucking the most genius thing that's ever happened on this show right here. This is unbelievable. I can't believe it. I'm going to try it next time. I can't get a ticket for parking in front of my own driveway.
No, I don't even think you need to do that. Just park at the end of your driveway just enough that, like, your trunk is hanging off into the street. That way they kind of have to go around, and you have at least a good, what, 2-3 feet between you and the curb, and you got plenty of room. You're good.
Or at least, or my trunk will be in the street.
But, yeah, or your trunk will be in the street, and you'll have a lawsuit against the city.
Okay, well,
I'm not sure.
I don't know. I'm not telling you to do it. I'm just saying it sounds like a good idea.
Snowplow life hacks, everybody. Jeez, wow. That's definitely a first that we've had on the show right there. So it's always nice when Tony gets to commiserate with somebody else, because I don't really get it over here, because we get snow and stuff like that in Jersey, but it either hits you or it doesn't, like the last couple of years where it's been all snow and nothing. But yeah, that I like that. I like the parking the trunk the end of the car or whatever out into the street just a little bit, maybe just a little bit past the mailbox, however you have the whole thing set up.
Yeah.
I like that.
It's supposed to snow tonight, folks, so tune in next week. All right, Andrew, let's hit him with all the eWrestlingNews.com and chair shot stuff right here, and let me.
You're gonna either have an easy time taking the car out, or you're gonna have half a car, and we're gonna have a different story. So that will be an interesting next week, right there. So, yes, as everybody should know by now, because it's like the second or third week we've been talking about it, Chair Shot brand has moved to eWrestlingNews.com. You could find all the news, reviews, coverage, and podcasts that you loved on the Chair Shot over at eWrestlingNews.com right now. And we still have that wonderful pro wrestling tee store, which is still / the Chair Shot. Is it not, Tony? Is that not how that works still?
I believe that's exactly what it is, Andrew.
Oh, good.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Before we get to topic number one, and we're going to talk all about Max Holiday, but Max, I want to give you a chance right away to just tell everybody where they can find you all over social media, you know, just to start off, so they can sink in to Max Holiday while they listen to Max Holiday.
Well, I was really hoping to, like, drop, you know, that I actually got my own pro wrestling tees site here tonight. But last night I uploaded my graphic for the Bearded Bruiser, the whole, you know, motorcycle-looking graphic, the cut, the patches. And they actually denied my design, saying that it was a parody or copying someone else's design or something along those lines. Actually, let me look at the email real quick, because I was pissed off. I emailed them right back. I was like, who am I copying? Who am I ripping off?
This is a little inside baseball right here.
Yeah, it says, we apologize, but upon review, your design were rejected. I think they meant to put was rejected, but it's like were rejected because it appears to be a parody of someone else's work. And they go on to say how they've received cease and desist letters in the past, blah, 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 blah. And if I had any questions, to email them. Well, I've yet to hear back as to who I was parroting. Period, whatever. But anyway, so you can't find me there yet. But you can find me on Twitter at Holiday Special. On Facebook, I believe it's The Max Holiday. Instagram, Max Holiday. Snapchat, Max Holiday. I got a TikTok, but I only watch people shit and like it, so. But other than that, that's everywhere you can find me. Oh, hey, Tony, did you accept my Chatterbait request yet?
Did I accept your what?
That's my a whole different Chatterbait kind of Twitter request.
Ooh. Your Twitter request?
No, Chatterbait. Do you have a video version coming out soon, Tony? Is that what you got going on?
I don't have Chatterbait.
How can you not have Chatterbait?
That's not you that I friend. Oh, that's weird.
What is Chatterbait? What's Chatterbait?
How do you not know what Chatterbait is?
Well, sonny, back in my day, we used to walk uphill both ways when we went to school. Now, goddammit, we knew it would have been faster going downhill both ways, but that didn't make you much of a man, now did it?
How are you on Twitter and not know what Chatterbait is? Chatterbait.
How do you have 27 Twitter accounts and not know what Chatterbait is? That's a better question.
That's like lowballing it. I have I have zero burner accounts, Tony, Kevin Durant. Okay,
Tony,
get off my nuts, balls.
Did you enjoy the old show, The League? Did you enjoy The League?
Did I enjoy The League?
The League, the TV show that was on a few years back.
What was that one about again?
Fantasy sports. Come on.
Oh, yeah. With the guy. Yeah, with the guy who said he was at 9/11, but he wasn't. One of the actors. Yeah, I got
the guy that played Taco. The guy that played Taco was a big comedian. He had this whole song about Chatterbait. You may not remember that because the chorus was just guys jerking off. But that's Chatterbait in a nutshell. And you fit the profile with your Bill Belichick looking kind of thing. So, hey.
All right. Okay. So Max, that was a rib, hey?
Yes. The fact that we had to explain it kind of makes it funnier, actually.
It did make it a little better, yeah.
I have never heard of Chatterbait before, so there you go.
That's great.
Yeah. You guys want to talk about football?
Yeah, from Chatterbait to football. That's a fantastic segue right there. Hey, but the league, there we go. Fantasy football, fantasy sports. All right, I could tie it together. There we go.
Let me do a quick commercial for the show. If you're looking for smooth segues, tune into Pod Is War.
Welcome to the XFL.
For the love of football.
Ready? It's time for victory. We making history. We the new big thing. Ain't no mystery. Believe me when I say the big game's on. Better tune in. That new thing about to take off. Ready to face off. Look me in the eyes. I'm so gay. Ready that I'm all up in your mind. Ready for the battle. We preparing for the war. Just a taste, I swear they won't move. Hot sun, bright light, no time to waste.
Gentlemen, the inaugural season, the inaugural weekend of the inaugural season of the XFL is in the books and quite successful in my own opinion. I know there was some pretty quality football overall, if you ask me. Better than I had expected. Apparently, tickets on secondhand sites are going for DC Defenders for more than Redskins games we're going for. So people want a winner in DC, apparently. Gentlemen, your thoughts and reactions to the first week of the XFL, the kickoff, the reviews. I know both of you watched at least some XFL. Andrew, I know you said you were going to. Max, I seen on social media that you said you were getting ready to watch some of the games. So let's kick it over to Max and start with him. Thoughts, reactions to the rule changes, the quality of play, and the difference between the original time, which we heard the original Vince introduction, to now and what product they have out there now.
Oh, I absolutely love it. I'm actually torn between what team I'm going to pick. I enjoy all of it. It actually makes football exciting again, which I think was the point. I didn't get to catch a lot of it. But I did see a little bit, and I think I was watching the Defenders game, and man, those guys, whew, with the rule changes and everything. I love it. I love it. I can't wait to get some more of it. I actually had my brother-in-law went out and watched the Roughnecks. They went out, watched the game, had such a good time that they turned around and bought season passes that day.
Wow.
So the buzz I hear on XFL is just everyone's loving it. Everyone's all about it. Merchandise is going through the roof. So kudos to them. I'm excited. Again, like I said, I'm actually torn between who I want to pick for my team, considering Chicago Midwest really didn't get a team besides St. Louis. But it's one of the teams I'm torn over. I'm having a hard time accepting that.
That's the helmets look cool for the Battle Hawks, though.
They do. They do.
Okay, because I had that same issue you had where I didn't know which team I was going with because I live in Jersey, so the whole New York area should kind of lean me one way, but my NFL team is the Buccaneers, so I was also leaning towards the Vipers. And lucky for me, the Guardians played the Vipers week one, so I just said whoever wins that game, I will run with. So I'm officially a New York Guardians fan from week one right there.
Nice.
No, Tony, you don't like that?
I suppose you could do it that way.
I mean, what the hell else was I going to do? Just pick from the talent of the pool? Like, come on. Cardale Jones was the best person on any team, and at least the Defenders won. You really thought I thought Matt McGloin was going to light it up? Matt fucking McGloin?
Oh, I knew for sure. Redhead from Penn State. It was in the books. It was meant to be.
Oh, good. Glad you had faith. Who's your XFL team again, Tony?
Oh, boy. After further review, I think I'm going to have to go with Houston, actually. Their quarterback, I think P.J. Brown was his name.
Or P.J. Walker? Is that
P.J.
one?
P.J. Walker? I can't remember. I know it was P.J. I didn't get to watch that game. I think I watched the Saturday game. But seeing highlights, that dude throwing the ball looked like an NFL talent, looked like an NFL arm.
It's P.J. Philip Walker, so P.J. Walker.
P.J. Walker, my bad. That was my big takeaway from the weekend. So I guess I'll be a Houston Roughnecks fan, all right, y'all? I was a Houston Oilers fan, so they got a little bit of the Derek in there, so I guess I'll go with that.
They do, and I do really like that logo. It's really cool. But I agree with you. Like, the whole football, everything was cool about it. I love the transparency. I love the fact that you got to see what they were calling, why they were calling it, how the review process went. Now, my only slight question is when you get to hear what the coaches are calling. Now, you guys, how would you handle that? Would you keep the same playbook for a couple weeks, or would you change that playbook up weekly because you're getting random snippets of, you know, X, 2, Y, Jet, or, you know, people could figure out what, like, a Linda call is or something like that. Would that make it harder for you guys to just mix up a playbook, or do you think it's kind of irrelevant and they're just going to do what they want to do anyway?
I personally would mix it up, but at the same on the other side of the token, though, it's a lot for the guys, I think, too, especially if you're mixing the playbook up. But I thought the same thing when I saw that we got to listen in as the coaches were giving, you know, direction. I was like, man, that's insane. What about the other team? Are they not like, don't they have it on like over by them? Like, hey, he just called this play, change it up, dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's weird. So I would think that they're going to change it up slightly, or maybe it's like baseball where they're giving 15 wrong signals and you're looking for the right signal on the 17th spot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's interesting. It's very, very interesting. And I'm curious to see how that plays out. But on the same, on that same topic, really, I think that would piss me off as a player.
Really?
Constantly having the coach in your ear, you're on the line, they're calling it, and he's like, hey, adjust here, do this. It's like, oh, I don't know if I can handle that.
Yeah, that would be a headache. I agree with you right there.
I was having a hard time keeping up while that was happening.
Yeah. You got to deal with your own thought press, and you got processes, and somebody's in your ear going, spike it now, hike it now, go, adjust, move, you know, audible. What the fuck? Okay,
exactly.
Fine.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, but that's cool. I really wish they'd go for more than one point, because, like, nobody except, I think, one time actually went for a two-point or a three-point conversion after the touchdown. What the hell is making them so averse? Is it just football supposed to be touchdown and then 7 points? Or because you would think with the way they play the defense and the way a lot of the offenses were opening up, tell me that, like, a 10-yard three-point play, that doesn't look better when a lot of it was just wide open and trying to spread things out.
I'm not sure. I'm with you on that one. I'm not really sure why they didn't.
Tani, do you want to be the frugal one of the group and kind of explain why they just went for the one instead of anything fun?
I don't know. I think that was a really good question. I think they should have made it all easier. I think they should have left the three-pointer at the 10-yard line, but I think they should have had the one-pointer at the one-yard line, and I think they should have had the two-pointer where they have the regular two-point conversion in the NFL. That way, you know what, if you want the easy one, you can sneak it in or your quick hitch or just get the running back a yard and load up the line and have a couple fullbacks back there. Or you go for two like you normally, we all know, go for two. It's not just the NFL. It's also college football. That's what's feeding into a professional league. Okay, but if you want to get crazy, you want to go for three, you go all the way back to the 10. And then they should have like a five-pointer from the 25-yard line, okay? And then what happens is in odd quarters, you bring down with 25 seconds left, like rock and jock basketball, we bring down the fucking super high goalpost, baby. And if you can kick this ball in from the 25-yard line that's suspended 100 feet above the other goalpost, you automatically win the fucking game. This is the XFL.
You know, you're just like insults at the foul line away from basketball with your idea. You realize okay. That, right?
And then if it's still tied, we're going to skip the five possession alternating shootout, which is basically a hockey or a soccer shootout. They've adopted that for overtime. Okay. Now, if that's still tied after five, they're going to have a sack race on consecutive Sundays. But if I'm going to really ask you guys a serious question about all the rule changes, the one that's most likely to possibly be adopted by the NFL is the kickoff. Mm-hmm. The kicker kicks off from, I believe it's the 30 or the 35. I think it's the 30.
35.
And the other team and the kicking team are all together 5 yards apart on the receiving team's side of the field. The ball has to at least go to the 20-yard line, and the guys can't move until the guy catches it or it's been on the ground for 5 seconds.
No, I do really like that idea. I mean, even Troy Aikman kind of popped for that if you were watching the Dallas game at all, because they had him on the sidelines with him and Pat McAfee, and that's good. I mean, it still keeps everything interesting. There's less high-impact kickoff plays for injury because, you know, we had the really notable one a few years back with the, I think it was the Buffalo Bills tight end got rocked and he was, like, paralyzed or something like that for, I don't think it was permanently, but it was like a while where he was just knocked out, and that brought light to the whole kickoff situation. And it doesn't take the kickoff out of the game anyway, because with especially NFL kickers, they can just boot the damn thing through the end zone anyway for a touchback. So if you have to kind of rein that in and force them to aim for the five and then force some kind of run back, and it's not super full speed but you still get some action right there, I think that's neat.
That's where I'm at with it. Kind of make them have to pull back on the kick. That way you can actually get some action on the kick there. Is the NFL actually thinking about adopting that, or is that just a rumor?
Well, a lot of pundits have talked about it be the most likely rule adopted right away, considering the concussion protocol and the injuries that have been happening and the bad publicity the NFL gets, and where kickoffs, like you said, most of those injuries are occurring on kickoffs. So why, or a version of it, right? Because you can clearly see that it's almost nearly impossible for these guys to get this 25-yard running start, right? Where they're up to that between 15 and 20 miles an hour. That's how fast they're running when they run into another person, okay? So that's what people are saying. It's the most likely first rule that would be adopted from this. And what if you look at the XFL turning itself into something like ECW was to WWE, where behind the scenes, possibly cash gets filtered in to keep this alive so that we can find out the things that we can put to the extreme and use on a larger level. I mean, if you believe all that ECW, WWE stuff and really believe that, doesn't it feel like they could have this kind of relationship? I mean, Oliver Luck came on ESPN and was like, yeah, we're an add-on to the NFL. We're there for the guys that want to get up there. We're trying some new things. And if the NFL says that they want to come and use those things, that's great.
That's amazing. Like we like these new rules we want to test out. That's amazing. I love it. I would love it. I think it's great. But I also saw someone share something today on social media to the effect of the winner of the XFL championship game plays the last place team in the NFL. And if the XFL team wins, they get to go into the NFL, and that losing team is in the XFL.
Like that's awesome. I love relegations.
Yes, yes, like the Premier League. That'd be fucking awesome.
That would be. Could you imagine the Bengals in the XFL next year?
That'd be amazing. That'd be amazing to
watch. Or what would happen if you were the number one pick, like Joe Burrow, and the Bengals still get relegated, and then he's playing in the XFL, and he was the number one pick in the NFL draft?
Wow. That's cool.
I'd love to see that.
I hope that happens. But no, yeah, so XFL was awesome. I think they hit it out of the park, definitely better than the first time they tried this.
For sure.
I guess just to end things, does it bother anyone that WWE did the same thing with their football brand that they do with their titles, and they kind of erase the history and start fresh on whenever they put a new coat of paint on it? So, like, the fact that they're marketing this as the inaugural season when we all know 2001 happened, does that bother anybody here, or is it just, fuck it, you know, as long as you enjoy the football, who gives a shit?
Who gives a shit? I mean, they just... They did one season, yeah, right?
Yep, you're right.
So, If this goes into a second season, which we all at this point think is going to happen, then yeah, who gives a shit at that point? That was a test trial.
That was the test of the test for the NFL. Yes. I like it. It's like the inception of football. That's beautiful. Tony, does it bother you at all, or no, just move along?
I think they're both named the XFL, but... You know, looking at them and giving them the smell test, they're two completely different animals.
Nice.
Fair play.
Gentlemen, Goldberg is back again, and this time all right, topic number three. Should we move on to topic number three? No. Let's give this a couple minutes.
Is he saying boo, or is he saying boo earns? I can't really
boo,
hear.
Sir, they're not booing you. They're saying boo earns. They're saying boo.
Oh, okay. Thank you. That's what I thought.
Yeah. Quiet, Smithers. They're doing a podcast. Okay. Here we go. Goldberg is back once again. He will be heading across the pond and taking on The Fiend at Super Showdown for the Universal title. The only thing I want to talk about here is if they wanted to take the belt off The Fiend and not have him defend it at WrestleMania, wouldn't this be a perfect way to do it?
Yeah.
I mean, because here's where I'm saying they would do it. 10-second match. Ha ha ha, Fiend's laughing in his face. Goldberg, like, comes back away from him, turns around, spears him, picks him up, jackhammers him, 1, 2, 3. While he's standing up, gets the belt, the Fiend's watching him laughing, and then he gets up and beats the shit out of Goldberg and moves on to the next thing, and the title's not tainted, the Fiend's not tainted, and Goldberg gets his ass kicked by Roman Reigns at WrestleMania.
Is Goldberg wrestling Roman Reigns at WrestleMania?
No, I don't know. Who's Roman going to wrestle? Probably the winner of this match, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Roman Reigns won the fucking Royal Rumble, didn't he?
No,
Drew McIntyre did.
Oh, that's right. So why would Roman Reigns be fucking wrestling Goldberg for the title, honey?
Because if Goldberg beats The Fiend, Reigns has to fight somebody, and Lesnar's already fighting McIntyre.
Why I love the fact that he's already fallen into the Platt thing of just questioning your bullshit, Tony. This is fantastic. I love it.
We need
to have Max on more often. I'll get his nickname right.
You should hang out at the bar with Max and I after a Bruce City Wrestling show.
All right. Well, hold on. Let me fly to Wisconsin real fucking quick.
Sweet. Before you come to the show, shovel my fucking driveway.
Fuck you. Now answer. Why the fuck does it have to be Roman? Because I think most of us probably saw the rumor of the Elimination Chamber match, which is going to be like Shinsuke, Braun, Roman, and a couple others, I guess, as the number one contender. So I guess prevailing logic says that it's probably going to be Roman.
No one ever likes booking by Tunney, so I'm just going to get another drink, and you pitched Max a different idea.
And by drink, he means White Claw, so I don't even know if we can call that a fucking drink.
Ain't no laws when you're drinking them claws, baby.
Jesus Christ. All right. So I guess if you look at the Elimination Chamber aspect of Nakamura, Braun Strowman, and I think there were a couple other just thrown in that we know don't stand a fucking chance, Roman makes sense. And it would be, I guess, the WrestleMania money match, because if they can't get Rock to sign on for a match for Mania, then Goldberg is still a pretty well-known name. I can't really see it going any other way if Goldberg wins. Do you have like a way out of this? Do you have an interesting way?
Well, okay, sure. Out of Roman Reigns?
Or just if Goldberg wins, who would you throw on there just to make it interesting for the Universal title, assuming, like, you know, Brock keeps WWE, so it can't be Brock?
I would rematch with Fiend and build a program out of it. Having Fiend, Bray Wyatt, whatever, doing his deal. Because he comes in, beats him 1-2-3, then he gets beat down, and then you build the program off of that. And how he starts, you know, mind-fucking Goldberg. Mm-hmm. And Goldberg's kid gets involved.
Oh, that would be interesting.
Oh, look at that. Now we're
No, I do like that. You made it interesting. Because, see, my only contention was their gimmick they're giving it is the Fiend changes people when he beats them or when he faces them. What the fuck are you going to change Goldberg back to? Is he going to join the XFL or the NFL and go back to his football playing days? Or is he going to dye his goatee black and then he's going to go more intense? Like,
he's going to fucking finally just retire and stay away from that.
That's what it is? You're going to heal him into the old folks' home?
Yes.
All right, I like that. That's just a retirement match. That's a Open Raw with just Goldberg in like a fucking rocking chair. I remember when I was 176 and oh, and then the Fiend came around.
Yeah, shit, they ended Undertaker, you know, stuff. Let's end the phenom of Goldberg, spear 1-2-3.
I kind of like that, actually. Tony, how much of that did you catch? Are you still in White Claw heaven?
I don't know. You fucking making fun of me when I walked away, so why should I talk to you? God, I'm getting like white girl bitchy drinking these too. Hey, it's fucking weird.
It must come with the aftertaste, right?
No, you know, it's usually a long night when we podcast, and then I try to edit afterwards because it's fresh in my head and everything else like that. And I feel that I can maintain a little bit better drinking White Claw as opposed to the beers I like to drink are IPAs, and generally they're more than 6%. So, you know, 3 or 4 of those, and you're not doing a hell of a job editing, you know, 4 hours later.
That's a hell of a commercial right there.
So, White Claw.
Want to do stuff and be drunk at the same time.
That's my opinion on Goldberg and The Fiend, by the way, too.
No, I did like the way that Max took it, though. It's a little better than paint by numbers, throw Roman in there just for the rub, which I don't even know if that's the rub anymore, because what the fuck else can you do for Roman aside from Rock? Like, I mean, is there really anything else to build him?
I think it's better to give Bray the rub because they're building him up to be the next, you know, mystical, like Undertaker like character. At least that's how I feel with it. So why not give it to him and have him take out the almighty Goldberg by getting into his head and fucking with him like nobody's ever done before? And then, you know, the whole aspect of his kid too, which is the only reason, you know, he does this anymore.
True. And what kid, like, that's 12 or 13 or however fucking old the kid, however old his kid is, wouldn't want to play along with that?
Oh, for
like,
sure.
Come on. You involve the kid, he'll be giddy as shit. I have to shit myself on camera? I can do it. Don't worry about it.
Does the kid fly to Saudi and get the mandible claw?
No, let's not do that to the kid. Let's involve him after the Saudi mania.
Yeah, stuff. Let's not ship the kid to Saudi.
That doesn't sound good. Out of context, in context, any kind of thing. No, just
you guys
keep him away.
You guys act like this is totally out of the realm of possibility. We're talking about the WWE. We're at WrestleMania. Braun Strowman won the tag team titles with a fucking, what, 9-year-old, 10-year-old?
But it wasn't WrestleMania in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
That's another show title. We got a second show. We got a second working title, but it wasn't Saudi Arabia. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It wasn't Saudi Arabia.
Okay, that's fine. I guess that means we're going to move on to topic number 3.
Velveteen Dream. Bro. Oh, basking his glory.
Gentlemen, big card this Sunday, by the way. NXT TakeOver Portland is on a Sunday. So before we get into the card, which I have right here, Andrew.
Just good. So you know,
I see the glow. I see the glow of your server on your face.
Wee. Little did you know I'm looking up porn, so go fuck off.
He's on his right now.
Then I will stop.
I'm trying to find Max because I'm like, hey, I still use that too.
Would it still count as looking into your eyes if I watched it in your eyes?
In your eyes? Isn't that a song by like Peter Gabriel or some shit like that?
Yeah, your eyes.
Okay, whatever. I was close.
I was quoting the song. Anyway, it was sorry. It was a little too heavy for you there.
A little bit, especially because it was two fucking words. How do I know that's a quote? It could just be something you're saying. It should be like, "And the I'm quoting Rocky. What are you talking about? What the fuck?" Worst quote ever. Now get to the lead in.
Here's my biggest question about this weekend. Are we officially beginning the transition of NXT to that third brand by giving them their standalone and it's on a Sunday? Right? All their standalones have always been on a Saturday. They're getting a Sunday pay-per-view. First time, NXT.
God, I hope not. I like having a week off here or there. You know, having a full week of like Saturday, then Sunday for TakeOver and then Mania, SummerSlam, whatever. That was nice. It's an easier way to kind of break up my month personally. If they want to give them their own Sunday show, I guess more power to them, because what wasn't the 25th one on like a Friday or some shit like that? So it's not like they've never mixed it up before, but I'd prefer it to stay on Saturday. That's one of the few things I like about AEW is that their fucking pay-per-views are on Saturdays, because I don't work Sunday. So I kind of like having that decompressed day. Max?
Knowing WWE, they're going to work towards that brand, and they're going to have their own thing for sure. Especially because they're on, aren't they on USA now too?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, for sure, brother. It's Vince McMahon. Go get that money. Mm-hmm. Yep. No, for sure. They're going to go do the branding thing there with their own deal.
I mean, the next logical step is they're going to be a touring brand. They're going to get away from Full Sale. At the very least, they can make money just touring, you know, Southeast United States, right down in there, going up and down from up and down the East Coast and down along all the way across to Texas.
Yeah, I could see them doing something like that. Not necessarily full nationwide, but yeah, like up and down the coast for sure.
Yeah, not wrong. That's the worst part. You're right. Knowing the WWE thing, you're probably right. It is probably just a slow burn to set up for Sundays moving forward. But I kind of enjoyed the variety. I enjoyed the back to back, the full weekend, the smorgasbord of wrestling, so to speak. And then you get a week off to kind of recover, and then it goes into whatever you're into, like ROH on a Friday or New Japan at a random point because Japanese times are different, or you know. MLW has their bigger shows that are popping up, and TNA has their own stuff. So, but I guess if everybody likes Sunday, because, you know, Sunday's been the thing, you're not wrong.
let me run down the card real quick for you guys. It's main evented and headlined by two unbelievable championship matches, Adam Cole versus Tommaso Ciampa, and then you got Rhea Ripley against Bianca Belair. Should be two excellent championship matches. Then you also got a big grudge match between Finn Balor and Johnny Gargano. Obviously, those two guys can work in the ring. Big other title match is going to be that North American Championship. Keith Lee, bask in his glory, taking on Dominik Dijakovic. And then we also have that street fight between Dakota Kai and Tegan Knox. Plenty of bad blood between them. What match are you guys looking forward to? And this looks to be just another excellent card from NXT.
I think that that Cole Tommaso Ciampa match, that's going to be... I mean, I didn't hear anything that's not going to be good, really. But if I had to look... Keith Lee. I like watching Keith Lee.
What do you think is his ceiling? I mean, do you think he could be WWE heavyweight champion one day?
I could see him on the main roster. One day, maybe. I don't see it out, not for a while, though. Maybe, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I think the match that has me most interested is probably Balor and Gargano, because they're two big work rate guys. They don't really put on bad matches. Balor's trying to reestablish himself as the Prince. Don't know, you know, we all know that's just references back to Prince Devitt and his old Bullet Club heel kind of persona where he was a little stiffer, a little more of a badass. For all we know, he might break out the demon, or at least it might give him incentive to break out the demon, because if he has a hard time beating Gargano, but it's a great match, he gets a rematch against Cole, perhaps, because Cole beat him not super clean on NXT a few weeks ago. We might see the demon, and the demon's always fun. My only issue always with the demon is the fact that he doesn't really change up his moveset or do much different aside from fucking paint himself, which that seems like a lost opportunity right there, where he just paints himself and does the same fucking thing. Except in that, what the fuck, the Brock Lesnar match. I think he finally did something different there, but most of the time it's just paint by numbers Finn Balor. So, but it could be cool. I enjoy most of what they do normally, regardless of how much I just shit on the demon. That's just, it's stupid to switch personas and do the same fucking thing.
I pitched Max an idea for an alternate persona. I don't know if he's buying it or not.
Oh, the Valentine's Day one?
Max Love.
From earlier?
Yeah, Max Love.
Max Love? Maybe.
Max Love.
Probably. I mean, I don't know. Can I be, like, related to Brother Love and kind of spoof off his gimmick a little, maybe?
Definitely. You're his godson.
Yeah, you know, I might lean towards it a little more now.
You're gonna paint your face red and everything too.
Of course.
Okay, there you go.
Hopefully, I've given you something to wrestle with.
I see what you did there.
God, all right. Damn. Yeah, I'm good. You know, you love it.
Wait,
all right.
How'd you miss it though? Wait a second, Tunny. What? It's part of the intro to that question. And I thought you were saving your big hype match for that, because you overlooked it in the rundown. What about the Broserweights against fucking Undisputed Era? How'd you miss that one?
I was going to say, they're not the tag champs aren't on there?
Oh, yeah. Oh, maybe I didn't scroll down all the way. I got so excited by Tegan Nox and Dakota Kai.
You're totally doing this on purpose. I mean, you just roll the shit?
Did I really miss it?
I don't remember you saying it in the rundown, because you said two big matches and then one other championship match with North American. You did not mention the tags at all.
Oh, it's right here, and I missed it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. I'm glad you caught it. I'm distracted by Dakota Kai and Tegan Nox, too, so I can't really blame you. But I thought you were setting up a kind of big finish to the question with some kind of Matt Riddle, maybe Big Lebowski thing. I don't know, dude.
I'll give you a serious question from it then. Does Undisputed Era lose any titles this weekend? They've already lost one.
Ooh. Yeah, I'll say they lose the tag belts.
Max, Cole, or Red Dragon, either of them lose this weekend? Lose the titles?
I'm going to go with the tag, too. I like, yeah.
All right, you guys got the Broserweights, your new NXT Tag Team Champions. Okay, I like it. I'm down with it. I imagine.
Bro.
I was pretty down with it, too. I'd love to see him shoot some shit on Goldberg after the match. Grab a microphone.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Man, don't you want to see those two get in the ring now? This is all. I hope it's a fucking work, and I hope they're going to fucking fight each other.
I hope it's all. Yeah, I hope it's all just like a slow burn with him and Brock and Goldberg, the whole deal. Because I want to see them face them all personally.
There you have it, folks. All right. Anything else for NXT? Should we move on to topic number 3? 4. Holy shit. 4. We're rolling right along. See, that's what happens. The White Claw, it sneaks up on you.
We'll be right back.
gentlemen, besides obviously the one and only Max Holiday, and I gotta say, you and Aesop, I think, are tied. So, because, you know, I love you both, big fan of both of yours work, and you guys are awesome podcasters in your own right, and you guys always come and help me out, and it's always fun to talk to you guys. But besides Aesop Mitchell and the one and only Max Holiday right here, follow him on the Twitter at Holiday Special. Yeah, come on now.
Right? Yep.
Okay, there we go. Zack Sabre Jr. is my favorite non-WWE guy. Love that music he's got going on right there, and I just love his moveset and the way he works in the ring. Big things coming out of Osaka Balls. Catch us up on it, because I know ZSJ challenging Moxley was one of those big things.
That was probably the biggest story. Roppongi 3K retained the junior tag titles. They're going to face Rocky, their manager, and Taguchi, because it's going to be the mega coaches against 3K as some kind of fun little rivalry betrayal type thing, because 3K feels a little scorned that Rocky picked Taguchi over them. ZSJ, as we know, he's challenging Moxley now after Moxley beat Suzuki. That was a fun fucking matchup. That was good stuff. ZSJ, though, also has a big match on Valentine's Day with a rematch against Ospreay at Rev Pro. So we may see ZSJ as a double champ if he can retain the British heavyweight title, or Ospreay might take it off on Valentine's Day, and then the U.S. title will have to be kind of a parting gift, or just, you know, a compensatory kind of thing, just to kind of ease his broken heart that he's not the British heavyweight champion anymore. And I was a little disappointed with it, but I know everybody has their own feelings on Kenta versus Naito. It was a lot of good character work, but when the first 5 minutes of the match is literally them powdering, not touching, and just kind of trying to fuck with each other, like mind games, like the 5 minute call literally happened and nobody really touched. So That bothers me. It's not exactly great television. It's
Max,
not exactly
you're, Max, you're smiling over there.
That's working, brother.
It's great character work. Don't get me wrong, but it's not the most engaging.
Let Max set you right here.
Yeah. So it's just. But no, it was a good show. I enjoyed the show. But the biggest thing is Suzuki losing to Moxley, and then Sabre showing up to choke out Moxley and make his declaration that he wants to be, the British King of the United States, you know, all over again. So, Max, do you follow New Japan at all? Does any of that tickle you?
I do a little bit. I love Suzuki. I would love to work Suzuki. I think it'd be fucking amazing. Mm-hmm. I haven't kept up lately, but I have followed like the Suzuki and Moxley storyline just because it's Suzuki and Moxley, so I was interested.
Personal bias, I get it.
You've worked in and around with Bruiser, Beer City Bruiser, sorry,
yeah.
And he's worked Suzuki. Have you ever had a conversation with him about working with him?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he said, you know, he enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun for him. I would love to do it.
Now, the thing is, would you want, like, King of Pancrase, evil, sadistic Grandpa Suzuki? Or would you add a little bit to it? Because we all know he's done DDT where he comes riding in on a bicycle, being goofy, having matches, like mixed tag matches with women and little girls. And he's got a match for Mania Weekend against Orange Cassidy. So, you know, that's not exactly going to be a straightforward.
Oh, this is the first time hearing of this as well. Oh, snap. Cancel WrestleMania. Cancel WrestleMania.
That's not going to be.
Oh, we have the Orange Festival. We have the Suzuki Orange Festival.
Would you just want the slugfest, beat the shit out of each other, get weapons, chairs, and just go full destruction? Or would you add in a little bit of comic relief?
No comic relief with him.
Hey, that's fair. That's what I like. Like, I loved his match at Bloodsport with Josh Barnett. That was brutal. That was fucking awesome. Yes.
That was insane.
So, yeah. So, more of that. That's the kind of Suzuki I like. I'm obviously going to check out the Orange Cassidy match whenever that goes up on the GCW stuff. But, yeah. I prefer my Suzuki evil and sadistic.
Yeah, for sure.
Tony, are you going to be searching out the GCW show now so you can watch Suzuki kill Orange Cassidy, or maybe Suzuki will sell those devastating kicks. You never know. Could you imagine that if Suzuki just goes flying into the ropes after one like little half-ass kick from Orange Cassidy?
Don't you think that that's the way the match is going to go? I think Suzuki's going to give him his pop right when the match starts, and he's going to play along. And then, like, 15 seconds later, he's been brutalizing him for 12 seconds, and the match is over.
I'm okay with that. That sounds like a good match
too. Oh, yeah. And I have an assignment for you, Andrew. You need to remind me to watch this match.
And you actually will.
If you remind me.
Okay, there we go. I'll do that then.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of both men.
Well, you're big fans of other people, and you still barely watch anything outside of, like, the televised stuff.
I have a busy life. There's lots of things on Netflix. You wouldn't believe it.
I know, because you binged The Witcher, and you got me to do it. So
oh, listen here. I have Netflix homeworks for both of you guys if you want it, and you need a new series to watch. It's called Lock and Key. It's on Netflix. It's fucking excellent. I'm not even going to tell you what it's about. Just go watch the preview. You'll want to watch it.
Lock and Key?
Yeah, Lock with an E. Lock and Key.
Okay,
since we've gone off of wrestling a little bit and random new things, did you either of you guys see the trailer for the new movie, The French Dispatch?
No.
It is a Wes Anderson movie, but the cast is so ridiculous, I have to watch it purely because of the cast, where it's got Benicio Del Toro, Owen Wilson, Bill Murray, Tilda Swinton.
Oh, I did see this.
Jeffrey Wright, who's the guy from Westworld, if you've caught any of that. And it's just a whole bunch of just like big A-list and like nobody's kind of all thrown together. And it's Wes Anderson, so it's done in that kind of awkward, indie kind of humor, you know, like almost chopped up kind of style. But it looks real funny. So I'm at least going to give that a look, because I think that trailer just dropped today, according to what IMDb like popped up on my notifications. So that looks cool. Is that not your flavor, Max? What's your movies of choice?
I usually lean more towards like action comedy movies, action / comedy movies. In particular, I think the last movie I watched was Joker.
I mean, that's a fucking good one. Don't watch it's your last one though.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It was.
He just won the Oscar.
Yeah. Joaquin did, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good for him. Yeah. Knives Out, you'd probably like that. If you like any of the old like mystery spy like whodunit kind of Clue type things,
for sure.
That's really good. Because that's got Don Johnson, Jamie Lee Curtis, and the detective is who's the James Bond guy? Daniel Craig or something like that? That's his name?
Sure. Yep.
Yes?
Okay. Yes, it is. It is. That's his.
The most recent James Bond.
Affirmative, sir.
But no, that was really fun. That's good. It's got a nice little bit of action and comedy. And Chris Evans, Captain America's in it too. So
poor Max. He carves an hour and a half out of his day for us, and now he fucking leaves with homework.
See, look what you started, Tony. God damn it.
Okay.
All right. Let's head on to our last topic and our most important topic, topic number 5. But before we do, folks,
You judge.
I was just trying out different ways of saying that word. You judge. Seriously, I want you to judge who does it better.
Oh, judge. TheChairShot.com.
Always use your head.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Yeah, there wasn't really any doubt. I just wanted to rub it in that Platt is gone. But I hope he's having fun at the Sherman Helmsley Conference. And he takes a lot of pride in his George Jefferson look-alike contest. So, topic number 5, let's get to topic number 5.
Well, my daddy left home when I was 3, and he didn't leave much to Ma and me, just this old guitar and an empty bottle of booze. Now, I don't blame him because he run and hid, but the meanest thing that he ever did was before he left, he went and named me Sue. Well, he must have thought that it was quite a joke, and it got a lot of laughs from lots of folks. Seems I had to fight my whole life through.
Some gal would giggle and I'd get red, and some guy'd laugh and I'd bust his head. I tell you, life ain't easy for a boy named Sue.
Gentlemen, it is my privilege to introduce topic number 5, which is about the one and the only Max Holiday. Now, let me tell you something, folks. I never heard of a boy named Sue. Well, I have actually heard of a boy named Sue, only because of the song, but I've never met a boy named Sue. I would never like to meet a boot named Sue, but I've definitely heard of that boot named Sue, and it belongs to the one and only Max Holiday. Max, what the hell have you been up to? Where have you been traveling around? What kind of titles have you been winning? I know, what are you, three different world titles you've already been a holder of, I believe, correct? Three different world heavyweight championships at one time or another. Didn't you? You held all three at one point, did you not?
At one time, I tried my best to get all three belts away from the promoters to take a picture, and it just didn't happen.
Tell everybody what three promotions those are, because I think I'm pretty certain I don't remember two of them, but I can't remember the third.
One was for Brew City, one was for Anarchy Pro, and one was for Adrenaline Pro. Or ARW.
So you've been traveled around. You've won many titles. You've kicked lots of people's asses. You've used that boot name Sue. Let everybody know what you've been up to in the past few weeks and whose ass you've been kicking.
Well, have I been on here since I broke my foot?
Yeah. When did you break your foot? You came back
July 27th, 2019.
This year? Oh, what injury did you have before that?
Nothing as serious as that.
Oh, man. Sorry about that.
Are you bookmarking interviews by injuries? That's kind of fucked up, Tony, right there.
Well, it happens like that. I mean, we message more than that, but, you know, shit happens. So, no, I guess not since you broke your foot.
Okay. Well, back in July, I broke my foot, and I went down till about November. And November 9th, I had my first match back. But since the first of the year, I think I've had 8 or 9 matches, something like that. I don't know. But the last two I had were this past Friday and Saturday. Friday I was in Tinley Park, Illinois for Dynamic Wrestling Alliance. I wrestled Yabo the Clown. Are you familiar with Yabo?
I am unfortunately not familiar with Yabo the Clown.
He's wrestled up in the Wisconsin area.
Yeah, you know.
Horrible. Anyways, I wrestled Yabo the Clown, and...
Good job, Tony. The one thing we need you for.
Welcome to the portion of the show where Tony supremely disappoints Max Holiday. And now back to your regularly scheduled program.
Yabo ended up meeting a boot named Sue that night. And later on in the night, I was actually in a battle royal as well and was tossed out within 10 seconds. So that was phenomenal, in my opinion.
I remember hearing about that. I always hear about the bad things you do. What's up with that?
Well, actually, when I got tossed out, I felt that if I was not wearing the ankle brace that I now wear on my right foot, I would have broken my ankle because it planted on the apron as the rest of my body went down, and it wasn't until the rest of my body was past the apron that my foot was yanked off of the apron because it had planted itself. It was horrible.
Ouch.
Yeah. That's
not good. Not good. So I was nursing that wound later on in the evening with a cold beer, talking to a friend at the bar, and all of a sudden, there was some tussling going on behind us, and we turned around, and there was a group of probably about 5 to 6, probably 45 to 55-year-old men and 2 women, all huddled up, and all you saw was one guy coming over the top with haymakers, and my buddy saw one of the women being muffed by one of the guys. So it was at that point that I was like, son of a bitch. And I took a drink of my beer, put it down, turned around, grabbed 2 guys.
Wait, can stop. Can we pause? Can I hit pause? Oh, my God. In my head, I can totally just be like sitting next to you and look over
And you're not, you know, you're just, I'm not even there. You're looking right past through me with, you know, you're looking at what's going on and I can see it. There's disgust has come and rot your face and filled your eyes with, you know, disappointment. And, I have to pick up my beer and I have to take a drink of it. Okay. Yes, I got it in my head. I'm picturing it. I'm there. Go ahead. Back to play. Prepare to fast forward. Fast forwarding. All right, play. Here we go.
So as I turn around, there's two guys right there that I grabbed and pushed back by their chest. And they're like, he's hitting them. And I'm like, it doesn't matter. You're coming over here. And at that time, other wrestlers showed up and started breaking up the fight. Not really sure what exactly happened. But while sitting there discussing it with my buddy that we were having the beer nursing the original injury that happened, laughing about the fight because we'd overheard, hey, he's had a heart surgery. There's heart complications. Meanwhile, there's just a big pile on of people fighting with each other that apparently have heart complications on top of everything else. So while laughing about this, all of a sudden at the other end of the bar, another fight breaks out. Which, of course, they stay away from because it's several feet away, and they break it up rather quickly. I think it was a little fall off of what had happened right behind us. I think they were bringing the gentleman back in to close his tab. And then, while talking about this and the
fuck you, I only have four shots. Sir, you had eight shots. Four fucking shots.
Then, while laughing about the two fights that just happened, a third fight breaks out between one of the wrestler's sons who was inebriated and was helping break up the fight. And while helping break up the fight, got into another argument with one of the other patrons, and that had sparked back up. So that was more of a verbal altercation. No fists were thrown. Nobody was really taken down during it. But it was a third fight amongst, you know, everything else. So we enjoyed the show, the after show, as we dubbed it, on Friday night when we witnessed all three of these fights go down. And then on Saturday in Lake Station, Indiana, for ARW, myself and Zach Hendricks, as Whiskey Benton Hellbound, took on another tag team. I'm not really sure what the name was, but we ended up winning that match as well. Everything's been going pretty well since it was last year. And now this coming Saturday, I'll be at Bruce City, actually teaming up with, Roadhouse to take on Baxter Belafonte and the Puma, Cougar Hunter, Puma dude.
All right. Yeah, if that's his fucking official name, that sucks.
The Cougar Hunter, Puma Dude. I like that.
Actually, that, you know, works. It took 10 seconds to grow on me. I love it.
It's like, there you go. It's like something something Puma, which translates into the Cougar Hunter. I don't know.
You should tell him to listen to this show and as a pitch for a new name for him, because I think it could really change his career. I think it really could change his career arc.
Listen, brother, we really need to simplify this.
This is what people like.
Cougar Hunter.
You like Will Ferrell? You ever seen Talladega Nights? You're really going to dig this name I got for you.
Oh, jeez. So was it your bootin' foot that you broke, or was it the plant foot?
They're one and the same. It was my right foot, which I throw my boot with. I was actually in a street fight when it happened, and we had moved over to a scaffold, and I had climbed up onto the scaffold the first rung, which was probably a little, I'd say about a foot lower than what your door jamb would be. Okay. As I swung around to the front of the scaffolding, I felt it start to teeter, and so the thought that ran through my head was either I go down with this thing and it possibly hits fans behind me, or I push back and hope that it stands up and, you know, I take the fall and do what I can. Mm-hmm. So I pushed back, the thing ended up standing up, and I took the fall. When I came down, all my weight came down on my right heel, and I ended up fracturing my heel, which, mind you, is the hardest bone in your body to break. So, as the doctor said, it had to be a very strong, forceful impact in order to fracture it like I did. But, I mean, I finished the match, so no worries there. I think we went for around another 6 minutes, but...
Oh, great! Now, did you have to throw the boot, or were you able
to... Yes, I ended up winning the match by throwing the boot, yes.
Oh, oof. Did you throw it any gingerly, or, like, did you aim more for, like, toes or, like, the sole of your foot, or did you just throw it normally and just deal with the ramifications afterwards?
If I remember correctly, I had pulled myself up. The person did something off the top rope, and I moved out of the way. So I pulled myself up on the ropes, and I mean, when it happened, my foot had like this numb feeling, like you just know something's wrong.
Yeah,
when you can't put pressure on it, but you just know. So I literally am standing in the corner, holding myself up by the ropes. And as the guy stands up, I take one giant leap with my left foot and then jump a second time and throw the boot.
Ooh, do you put like extra padding in your heel now just as a secondary precaution aside from the brace, or?
I do have like some nice Dr. Scholl's in my boots.
Okay.
They're nicely padded. And then on my right foot, I wear the ankle brace now, which after wearing it, I almost want to get one for my left foot just because of the support that it gives. It feels wonderful, but, you know, I don't know.
Is that frowned upon? Did the doctor say, don't do that?
No.
I don't see how that'd be a problem.
No, not at all. Of course it wouldn't be. It's just, you know, it's a pain in the ass to slip into the boot with the brace on. It's more of a hassle than anything, but it, you know, as I found out on Friday, it pays the habit. So
that's good. So all it right. kind of worked itself out. Yeah, there we go.
Let me plug the show this weekend, because I know how to plug Bruce City Wrestling pretty well. Done that a couple of times. Folks, if you're in the Southeast Wisconsin area or Northern Illinois area or anywhere close to driving to feel like going to see an excellent show in Milwaukee, go to BruceCityWrestling1.com. That's Bruce City Wrestling, the number one, BruceCityWrestling1.com. You can get your tickets ahead of time. You get a deal on the price there. Otherwise, you can get tickets at the door. You're going over to the Elks Lodge 400, 2301 Springdale Road, right there in Waukesha, Wisconsin. All right, folks, bell time is 7:30 this Saturday. After you take the girlfriend out for Valentine's Day, you say, honey, tomorrow night I'm going out with the boys. I'm going to watch Max Holiday kick some ass at the Elks Lodge.
Yep.
Food all night, excellent bar, big time wrestling action. That's BruceCityWrestling1.com for all of that. Aftermath 2020, BruceCityWrestling1.com. Max, what the hell else is coming up for you as your world domination tour continues?
So while I was down with the foot, I actually had it already scheduled. I ended up filming a short film entitled The Brass Ring. I'm assuming that's going to be coming out sometime before the summer. I've already watched a rough cut of it. It looks pretty good. It is a DePaul student that's doing it as their graduate thesis, and it was full on production. I was in makeup every day. It's about a pro wrestler. The film's about a pro wrestler that is down on his luck and, you know, finds success in the most unlikely of places. In a nutshell, he's works for the largest wrestling company, and he's told that his services are no longer needed in the ring. But they'd much rather have him promote from outside of the ring. So he ends up promoting at his first gig is like a third-rate Comic-Con, where he runs into his biggest fan. So I'll leave it at that. But that's supposedly supposed to come out, I'm assuming, by the end of spring. So I have that coming up. I did another little film thing. I have no clue when that's released. It was a very small, minuscule part. Outside of that, man,
Just a bunch of wrestling dates coming up throughout the year. Just pay attention to social media, which is Twitter at Holiday Special, Instagram Max Holiday, Facebook The Max Holiday, Snapchat Max Holiday. I don't know what the TikTok thing is. It doesn't matter because I just watch it to like people. And yeah, that's it. Oh yeah, the Chatterbait thing. I'm not.
Yeah, I was gonna say, what about Chipperbait?
Yeah,
Chipperbait. What is that, like Golf Chatterbait? Players Anonymous? Is Chipperbait?
I don't know.
Or is it if you're a really big Atlanta Braves fan and you just really love Chipper Jones and you can't get enough of him?
I think you had it right the first time. I'm just looking for a hole-in-one, man.
Hey! Max, you got any East Coast dates coming, or is that one of those, I should check the Twitter or the Facebook and you got it all up there?
Yeah, I would check social media. Yeah, honestly, for all dates. I posted them all the time. Yeah, off the top of my head, I don't have anything for you. Sorry.
I was just throwing it out there. Like I said, I will get the gimmick and the nickname right if I, you know, if it was more local and I had more chances to see. So I was just wondering, like, you know, like Pensy has a couple jerseys, got a shitload. So I was just wondering if you knew of anything off the top of your head that you maybe were swinging by.
No, sir. Nothing soon. Okay.
Max is like, go work on getting me booked out there, and I'll come out there.
Fine, I'll go work my connections, and we'll talk.
There you go.
Well, Max, I want to thank you for coming on the show once again and playing along and going over the topics with us and everything. I really do hope to get there Saturday and see you. I know we always have a good time. I always have a good time watching you in the ring. Folks, if you haven't seen Max Holiday, definitely check out his social media. You can definitely see some of his matches, the things he does in the ring, the intensity he brings, the excellent character he portrays. It's phenomenal. It's usually the highlight of the show. So check all that stuff out. And I'm not just saying that because I talk to him all the time, blah, 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 blah.
No,
or that he's very, or that he's very big and intimidating when I see him.
And so, you're not saying that's the reason why either, right, Tony? No?
Max is a nice guy, very nice guy, to be honest with you. Very much nicer than he should be for as big and as mean-looking as he is. So there you go. How's that?
Thanks for ruining that.
He's like, what the fuck?
Thanks for ruining that.
Fuck, you douchebag.
So when you don't see me getting booked anymore... Oh, it's because nobody believes that I'm a big, mean, scary guy.
Now we
guy.
Got the faces
He's
of
gonna
Holiday.
He's going to break a beer bottle over your head, Tony, on Saturday. That's what it is. So
you're gonna be Max Lollipop, the sweetheart of America.
I'm going to have to, like, smack a woman and kick a baby is what's going to have to happen now.
No. So you're going to put Tony in a wig, right? Because, you know, smack the shit out of him.
And Andrew just got you booked all over the East Coast, both of us.
Woo-hoo. It's the new gimmick. Just smack Tony around. There we go.
All right. You can find me at PC Tony. You can find the show at Pod is War. You can check everything out over at DWI Podcast as well. And Bandwagon Nerds on the Twitter. Andrew, let them know where they can find you. And Max, lastly, finish out this, you know, social media thing by telling everybody one more time.
Yep. I'm IWC War Chief on Twitter. You can find me on eWrestlingNews.com with other podcasts and articles and coverage, opinion, all that other fun stuff. So you know where to find it. And Max, take us home on that one.
Oh, what am I doing here?
Just Max plug your stuff one more time.
One more time.
Just plug it one more time.
Yeah,
you can focus on the Chatterbait if you really want to.
Man.
I want to thank you guys for coming on tonight and joining me. It's been a while since I've done a podcast. So thanks for that. Catch me on the social medias because that's where I do a lot of sharing. Some call me a whore in that aspect. But whores get paid for their social media.
Only that aspect, or is that another level of your personal life that you just don't want to delve into this episode?
Listen.
Hey, I've heard no that. Shame in my game. I wasn't sure where you were going with that.
Yeah, I've heard that tone before.
You can find me on Twitter at Holiday Special, Facebook The Max Holiday, Instagram Max Holiday, Max Holiday on Snapchat. I'm not on Chatterbait. Thanks for listening, guys. It's been great. I enjoy coming on here all the time.
Max, you're the fucking best, man. Andrew, take it home.
Oh, shit. Oh, that was fantastic. All right, just you know, take it home. Bring it to Carly. I'm not going to say the same thing. Hit the lights. Hit the music. Let's go home.
Only post-show Easter egg, Max Holiday, in three words, your opinion of Pod is War, always closing with Carly Simon's You're So Vain.
It is tremendous.